Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the next episode of the Wabam Entertainment Podcast. I am today's host, Landon Bell, and I'm joined by the wonderful Katie Gilstrap.
Hi, everyone.
And the equally wonderful Michael Thomas.
Avatar is back. That's all I'm here for.
Well, at least you were honest right off the bat. We're going to save Avatar until the very end because we had to have a reason to keep you around. I hope you're not offended by it.
That's fair. Deal.
Fair enough. Okay, all right. So we'll get started with the big, giant host of casting news that's come out the last couple weeks. First off, for DC Universe's Stargirl series, they cast Breck Bassinger as Courtney Whitmore. And they kind of went younger with this character this time, didn't they?
Yep. She's a relatively unknown actress, and she's very young. Like, people were expecting them to go much older.
Yeah, and I think people don't really know much about her because of that age. And so at this point, it's sort of up in the air. Like, you know, we don't know nothing about her, nothing about the direction the series is going. So we just kind of have to wait around and see. And then in addition to that, we also had a slew of Arrowverse casting news. Jeremy Davies was cast as Dr. Deegan, one of the characters from Arkham Asylum. And Cassandra Jean Amell was cast as Nora Freeze. She is the wife of Stephen Amell. So that's pretty cool. They're kind of keeping it in the family a bit with the casting there. And then the big, giant, big casting, juggernaut casting, the one that we're going to spend the next half hour talking. No, I'm kidding. but it is big casting news, and that's that Elizabeth Tulloch was cast as Lois freaking Lane, and I'm pretty happy about that.
Okay, Landon, you got your 15 seconds.
I got my 15 seconds to talk about it?
Yep.
Truth be told, there's not too much to go over with it just because I already wrote a gushing piece for Wabam, the website, and you can go check that out at wabamentertainment.com, dear listeners. What we know is that Tulloch was in Grimm. She was one of the main leads of the series. She was also in the Academy Award-winning movie The Artist. So she's got the acting chops. And she also published this big, long post on, I believe, Instagram, where she was praising Margaret Kidder and the legacy of the character, and it kind of really got folks hyped for her interpretation of it. Also, we also have casting news from Titans, and we learned that Curran Walters was playing Jason Todd, and there was a brief little clip that was released of Todd speaking with Dick Grayson, and you know, interesting little nuggets here and there. It's still, I guess, a little early to decide what we think of the show. I know Michael has kind of made up his mind, hasn't you, Michael?
It's gonna suck.
You can no longer review it every week, Michael. You have to go in unbiased.
No, I have to be a little biased because it's starring my favorite character.
No.
But the clip with Jason Todd was actually pretty cool. Okay, sorry.
Okay, I'm sorry, you can finish.
Jason Todd was actually pretty cool. It was the one moment of levity in all the footage we've seen from the show. The interaction between him and Brendan Thwaites' Dick Grayson. It was weird because it feels like Batman replaced Dick without telling him. And so that's an interesting conversation.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you replace your Robin if he just left you?
He leave him or did he get fired? Because in some versions, Bruce fires him. So, you know.
Point. So I guess we'll find out once the show arrives what direction they take.
I mean, Dick did say F Batman. So I don't really blame Batman.
I don't really blame Dick either, you know. I'm just saying.
Batman's a jerk.
I mean, there's been a few of these Batman movies where I wanted to say that well, metaphorically, because I don't actually.
He would actually say it when it bombed.
Moving on. Yeah.
Landon's mom.
Anyways, we also have our first look at Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker in the Joker movie. They've given him a name, and that's Arthur Fleck. What do you guys think about that?
You know, is he going to have the makeup at all? Because the picture they released is just a picture of Joaquin Phoenix. That's all we got, honestly.
He reminds me in the pictures we saw, he reminds me of Crispin Glover. And I mean the actual actor and not characters he's played. If anybody here listening has ever seen Crispin Glover in real life, he's a total nut. And that is exactly what Joaquin Phoenix looks like he's playing.
I wouldn't be surprised if we go this entire movie without the makeup and he just goes around looking like that the entire time. It feels like something they would do, especially with this being an Elseworlds story.
I mean, I could see it. It's not... I hesitate to just say this because some people would say it's heresy, and yeah, they might be right. But the Joker as a character doesn't necessarily require the makeup. It's more about the person, who he is. And honestly, giving him a name kind of changes the Joker dynamic entirely because it gives him a personality. You know, that's one of the things that The Dark Knight did really well. It robbed the Joker of any past, so he was scary. And I don't know how they will tackle that in this movie. How do you go from basically doing a retelling of his backstory from The Killing Joke and then turning him into a scary character, knowing everything that happened to him? How do you do that? And it'll be interesting to see if they pull it off. We also had the first trailer from Captain Marvel. I liked it. What about you guys?
Michael, you go first.
Did Carol punch an old lady? That's what I want to know. Was that a Skrull? Was that a real old woman? That entire thing, that ruined the trailer for me. I was so lost. Seriously, though, the trailer was fine. It didn't really do anything for me. It looked like standard superhero movie trailer.
So I'm about on the same page as Michael, where I didn't really enjoy it, but at the same time, I didn't really hate it either. It had a lot of cool shots. They were nice to look at. I saw someone say, like, they actually counted the number of words that Samuel L. Jackson had in the trailer versus Brie Larson. Like, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me because this is the first trailer. And so there's been a lot of flack about how she didn't smile in the poster. And she didn't have a lot of words in the trailer, but I mean, she's the point of the story, and her saying a lot of words might honestly give away a lot of the story. So, not entirely certain where they're going, but I don't mind that she didn't have a lot of words in the trailer, and I don't mind the fact that she isn't smiling in the poster. So,
I think the problem with that is this is the first time a lot of people have seen Captain Marvel. Most people don't know who she is, and so we got no read on what her personality is, what type of character she is, even what her story is. So I think that's where it kind of lost some people. It's like, first Wonder Woman trailer, you kind of got it. The Avengers trailer, you knew exactly what was happening. This one, it's just like, I don't know what her powers are, I don't know where she comes from, I don't know her story, based off of the trailer, at least.
Yeah, I would agree.
See, I've read the comics a little bit, and I mean, I thought that the trailer was faithful to that. Problem is, like you said, it's one of those things where they should have gone a little softer trying to introduce it to a broader audience, because right now it just kind of feels like, oh, it's a greatest hits clip reel of all your favorite characters you liked before, but in the 90s. Which I wouldn't have done that for the trailer. I would have focused more on her character. The stuff with the lines doesn't bother me because most Marvel first trailers don't have a lot of speaking lines from the main characters. I don't think the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer had the Guardians say anything in the first one, just as an example. So, yeah, that doesn't bother me one lick. Her punching the old lady is disturbing. They shouldn't have put that in the trailer. Just because most people don't know what a Skrull is. They've not been introduced yet. So for other people, they just say, well, wait a minute. Why did the hero punch an old lady? No context for that.
And again, they didn't show us what a Skrull was either. Like, how hard would it have been to show 1 2-second clip of a Skrull transforming into Samuel Jackson? I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, they could have done something like that. There was one Skrull in the trailer. There was like a brief clip from the beach scene that they released the first look for. There was a clip of that, but that was it. And, you know, I mean, power-wise, they showed off a little bit, but I think they're trying to hold that back, understandably. The biggest thing, though, the big thing that I liked was the whole crash into Blockbuster deal. even though it's really kind of dumb and cheesy, it's also really cool. And that's the kind of thing that I'm going to love when I see it in the theater. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the bulk of what I thought. The poster, I can't believe I missed this at first. But the poster, if you look at the very bottom left corner, you will see a little tiny cat. And that's her cat from the comics. I'm so glad that they're including him. He's cool.
Is this a special cat, like Bat Hound or something? I don't know anything about Captain Marvel.
No, like it's just a plain old cat. And for the life of me, I can't remember his name, but he's a moody little cat that goes around with her places. And it's awesome that they're including the cat in the movie. Yeah. I'll be curious to see what they do with it. I'll be curious to see if they somehow keep the cat alive on up into the Avengers movies. That'd be pretty lame if the cat just died.
If she doesn't get the cat until the Avengers movie.
I dig it. No, okay, maybe the cat is in the quantum realm. Maybe that's how Ant-Man gets out.
Cat is in the Soul Stone.
The cat is in the Soul Stone. I dig it.
Wait, Ant-Man is stuck in the quantum realm after Ant-Man 2?
Wait, what?
Oh my goodness. I still haven't seen that movie!
Uh-oh.
I can't believe you spoiled it.
I'm sorry. It actually doesn't spoil very much, so.
It kind of spoiled everything.
It actually doesn't spoil hardly anything in the movie, I promise. It's like a minor plot point.
Nope, don't talk to me.
This has been another episode of the Wobam Entertainment Podcast.
I'm going to hide in the corner of shame by bringing up Henry Cavill and those contract negotiations that were so big in the news the other week. What do you guys think about that?
So, I don't mind it. I mean, obviously, Henry's got to move on with his life at some point. I mean, Warner Brothers is kind of just keeping him in the background, and Superman is a starring character after all. I do think that it could have possibly been a release from either side, like the whole he was not returning as Superman. It was a release from either side to kind of gauge the reaction and just see where fans were leaning one way or the other. And obviously Warner Brothers figured out where Henry Cavill is on the fan spectrum. So, and then Henry Cavill's manager released a tiny statement that said Warner Brothers was going to release a statement about it, and Henry Cavill still wanted to wear the cape. And then Henry Cavill, at the end of the big, huge press day, released a weird video of him in a Krypton shirt. And I think he pulled up like a Superman doll with a picture of Michael B. Jordan on it, referencing possibly a courting of Michael B. Jordan to come play Superman. I don't know, but he said no words, just that it was a big day. So there's where we are.
So on one hand, we have Superman, who Warner Brothers says that they want to use him anyway. So Cavill has almost no leverage in that. On the other hand, take on Superman has been so split down the middle. Should they bring him back? I mean, I know we want him to come back, but should they really bring him back? That's my question.
I think the thing is that he looks the part so well that it's a genuine shame that they've not given him the script material to really sell Superman. Man of Steel, I like that movie a lot, but that movie is not really about Superman. It's about Clark Kent deciding to be Superman. And that's a completely different story. Once he's Superman, that's the story people want to see, and Batman v Superman didn't really do it. That was more or less a Batman movie, and Justice League didn't really do it because, spoilers, Superman was dead. So, I don't know. If it had been me right after Justice League, I would have greenlit Man of Steel 2, rushed that into theaters. But who knows what they're doing? It's almost like at DC, they're like, we've got to do dark and gritty to not be Marvel. And so now they're doing Titans, they're doing the Birds of Prey movie, and they don't really seem to care too much about going back to the classics.
In a sense, that might be the best course of action because, I mean, you're having a lot of people want to come in and rewrite these well-known characters like Captain America or having them become a new superhero or like taking Ironheart and bringing her into the role of Iron Man. Well, why not bring up these older or these not well-known characters and have them take the limelight, and maybe these characters relate to a lot more of what people are looking for nowadays. So, I mean, who knows? Going away from the classics might be DC's best bet here to kind of draw in a wider range of audiences.
And it's funny that you mentioned Ironheart because I don't think we ever covered this on the site since it was still a rumor, but there is an Ironheart movie in development. On The Blacklist, which is a big script hosting website run by Franklin Leonard, there was an Ironheart script that showed up on the site, officially sanctioned from Marvel. And it was one of the top-rated scripts on the entire site a couple months back. People were praising it and saying it was fantastic. So the fact that that showed up there tells you a little bit about where Kevin Feige's going. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe DC is taking some cues from that, trying to spice things up, trying to maybe go into the treasure trove of characters and not focus so much on Batman and Superman.
They haven't really focused on Superman since the 80s. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, they made
two Superman movies since the Christopher Reeves films, and they both were critically panned. Are they just giving up? I don't think they should just drop Superman that fast, honestly, but, you know, who knows?
Yeah, I wouldn't either. True. Like, I like Superman's character. Like, I like Clark Kent. I mean, I'm watching Smallville right now. Like, but I'm just saying.
Yep. And speaking of, you know, Batman and Superman, we also had a leak from Titans that Batman is going to be in the show to some degree. We got leaked suit pictures, which I'm going to be honest, the suit pictures look terrible, just like most of the costumes in the show. But to be fair, it seems like most of the shots with Batman are going to be in the darkness. You're not really going to see the suit that much.
I have nothing to say. I didn't look at the pictures.
They are the worst thing I have ever seen. It looks like a bad Michael Keaton cosplay.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. It looks like you took the Michael Keaton suit and stuck some Kevlar on it.
The ears are out of shape. They're like slightly bent inward, and then they bend back out at the tip, and it's just like, what were they thinking with that? I'd rather him not be in the show at all if that's what they were going to do.
They weren't thinking. But interestingly enough, the Titans showrunner, Greg Walker, said that he said Bruce looms large in the show, and that really, even though he's not going to be a main character, he drives a lot of Dick Grayson's story. So that's probably we're going to be seeing him. We're probably going to be seeing him in flashbacks and such.
I did not see the pictures, so I have nothing to say.
Cool, cool, cool.
Congratulations.
Well, okay. Yeah, fair. Look, they're bad. It's bad. You didn't miss much. But we'll send you the pics after the podcast anyways, just because we're nice friends.
Okay.
Oh, we're nice friends, so we're not going to send those pictures.
Okay, there's also that.
You thought Starfire didn't look great. Batman's another story.
And so, finally, we have one other item of DC news, and that is that the Supergirl movie has some potentially rumored story elements. This story came from Discussing Film, and they revealed that the movie should be set in the 1970s and may feature Brainiac as the villain.
Had me until 1970s. I'm really confused. Why is it taking place in that time period?
Be honest, though. You want to see Kara with big 70s mullet hair.
Well, yeah, I still want Superman to have his mullet, honestly.
No, not really. I don't really want to see a mullet.
Wing, Superman, and Supergirl all need mullets.
No!
But okay. I'm just going to pitch this as an idea. Wonder Woman with a mullet.
No.
Yep.
Oh, joyous.
Mullets are weird.
Weird but cool.
No.
This movie's going to take place before Wonder Woman 2.
Yes.
It's weird.
Theoretically.
And so what I'm hoping is that the reason they're doing it in the 70s because of the Kryptonian pod from Man of Steel 2. Or excuse me, not Man of Steel 2. Man of Steel, the original one.
Crushing our dreams, man.
I know. I'm still hyped on all that. But yeah, I'm hoping that the Kryptonian pod from that movie was hers. It was implied that it was back in the Man of Steel prequel comic. So there's a lot of stuff that they can mine there. And plus, if they did it, you also have to answer the question of where is she come, you know, the time of Justice League.
Is this set on Earth or Krypton? Because the whole Brainiac thing. Did we have an alien invasion in the 1970s? That's what I'm trying to figure out, because I'm just confused.
They wiped our memories with the moon landing.
Well, you did have the guy in Man of Steel who Lois Lane talked to at the bar, who was like the big-time alien conspiracy theorist. You could kind of play off of that and tell an alien invasion story in the 70s that would kind of give that guy fuel to run his website. That could be really cool.
Oh, I know probably nobody knows the story of Injustice 2. But Supergirl's story from Injustice. So basically, Brainiac destroys Krypton. That's when her and Kal-El get sent to Earth. That's the movie I kind of want to see, because the world Snyder built in Man of Steel, I want to see more of that. Have the whole movie take place on Krypton and Brainiac is the villain there. Then end with it, with them coming to Earth. But with it being in the 70s, that's why I'm just sitting like, what? The whole story was sort of mapped out right there. And now I'm just lost. I don't get it. But hopefully it's good.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of ways that this could go. And it's also kind of cool that there will be a Supergirl show on TV at the same time as a Supergirl movie.
We don't know that yet. They could still force a cancellation.
They could. But I would hope that they don't, just because it would be really lame. And I think at this point, DC realizes that their characters can exist in multiple forms.
Yes.
I think it took them a long time to realize that, but I think they do finally.
So you're telling me Manu could possibly come back to play Slade Wilson on Arrow? Please let that happen.
Make it so, in the words of Captain Picard. And so we do also have two other items of news. We do have a rumor that there is a Loki and Scarlet Witch solo series in development for Disney's streaming service. And rumor is also that they would be big budget. We're talking film size budgets. And that Tom Hiddleston and Elizabeth Olsen would come back to play those characters.
Loki will never die, will he?
okay, but the article from Variety does not say that where these TV series would be set in the timeline. So you could see where Loki's on Asgard, like playing Odin or something. Like, you don't have to see them after Avengers 4, like, be their story, or like with Scarlet Witch, okay, you see Vision and her traveling the world, like as fugitives because of the Registration Act thing in Civil War. The timing doesn't have to be specific.
I want a Loki series where he runs for president, because that's a comic that they actually did, and it just sounds so bonkers and off the wall that I want to see it happen.
We can see it.
The thing that concerns me about the Loki spinoff, I'm cool with the Scarlet Witch spinoff, but the Loki one is there was a lot of time where he's with Thor.
The Scarlet Witch one is awesome because if you go back, I actually pitched a Scarlet Witch Vision solo movie. If they're doing a solo series with her, I feel pretty certain he would show up in it at some point. And so I'm pretty excited that I'll basically be getting what I want from that pitch.
Their standalone movies or their team movies. I mean, Kevin Feige, I said that right?
You did!
Yay! He is going to be producing and like, or not necessarily producing, but taking on a hands-on role in the development of these shows.
And that's also really cool because he did not have that luxury with the Netflix shows or even the Jeff Loeb shows for over on ABC. And the fact that they're going to give him that freedom, it feels a lot more like they're trying to keep it in the same studio, same house, trying to avoid some of the mistakes of the past where they've split the brand so much that you've got too many cooks in the kitchen, so to speak.
They say how long these series were going to be. Like, are they going to be one-shots?
I think they said 8 episodes. Yeah. 6 to 8, I think, is kind of what I saw also. So we're looking at something, you know, roughly the size of a season of Agent Carter. I think Agent Carter was 12 or 13. So.
Cool. I dig it. So with the Loki show, weren't him and Thor like really, really close until recently? So are you going to have the show without Chris Hemsworth and we're just going to see the adventures of Loki by himself? I don't know how you're going to handle that.
You said it after Avengers 4. He comes back. He runs for president.
Loki will never die. Woo!
Long live the Loke. And as for Scarlet Witch, I mean, the world is their oyster with that because her character is to be honest, untapped potential, because they've not done a whole lot with her outside of just a little bit in the Avengers, a little bit in Civil War. There's an entire story there to tell, and you know, it'd be nice if they would tell it.
Gonna retcon her into a mutant, I guarantee it.
Maybe. We'll have to see. But that could be cool. And so finally, we do have our last news item, and that is that Netflix is currently developing an Avatar The Last Airbender live-action series. At last, you can recycle your M. Night Shyamalan DVDs.
I'm excited. I enjoyed Avatar, and I know, Michael, you got a lot to say, but I want to keep my spiel in. Not that there's much. So I hope they do it more justice than Shyamalan's movie did, because that's terrible. And that's all I got to say.
I'm scared. I'm scared because on one hand, you get awesome shows like Stranger Things. On the other hand, you get Iron Fist. And I'm scared this is going to be the next Iron Fist.
Well, okay. Iron Fist, I got really nothing to say for that, but maybe Marvel was planning on moving their properties, and so they put less effort into
it. They couldn't get the glowing hand effect right. How are they going to get firebending right? You know? I am excited because the original creators are back. The original composer is back. So that gives me some hope. But, you know, I'm on the fence about it. I don't know.
They just need to bring in the person who did Starfire's visual effects.
Okay, now that's actually spot on, because one complaint about Starfire was that the effect didn't really match her power set. That effect does match firebending way more than it does anything from Titans.
One thing that was... We could probably talk about this another day, too. But one thing that really annoyed me about the Shyamalama movie is that they had to firebend with fire that was around them. In the cartoon, they can create fire at will. They don't need to have a source of fire. I have a feeling if they're trying to cut the budget, they're probably going to do that again.
I don't know. I guess it depends, because with a series of unfortunate events, which, if I could get the name out, they didn't do that so much, trying to cut the budget. So I don't know. They might go big budget with this and not really care.
Because there's going to be a lot of flying, a lot of CG animals, and a lot of kung fu. So if they go all out, this could be the greatest show of all time. Second greatest show of all time to Avatar The Last Airbender. But on the other hand, this can be a huge mess. And they're going to have to be really careful with it. Because once you mess up twice, there's not going to be a third time.
Yeah, I mean, this is make or break. And I'll also be interested to see if they do it in books, because if they do, they're going to have to film this thing at breakneck pace just because it focuses on kids. So those kids are going to be growing up, and if you don't film 4 seasons worth of material in 4 years, then, well, you're up the creek.
I think they're going to have to cut the books in half, and so season one is probably going to have to be like maybe 10 episodes of the cartoon. And that's another thing. Are they going to do a straight adaptation, or are they going to reimagine it in some way?
I think the press release said reimagine, but to what degree, I don't know. Because I imagine they'd want to keep a lot of the source material intact.
It'd be tough. Pulling for them, though, because like I said, this could either be really good or really, really bad.
Well, and we shall find out hopefully next year or the next, whenever they get around to making it. And guys, that's it for the news. We do have one other little thing to add, and that's that the Russo brothers are teasing the Avengers 4 title again. Do you guys have any theories for us on what you think that title is going to be?
somebody said they pulled in-game out of that image, and I'm like, where'd you pull the in? Because I could see the E, I could see the E's, I could see the G, I could kind of see the D, and obviously the A. But I'm struggling where they pulled the in and the M.
I don't know. Cooler in that image is just laughing at us.
I think it's a teaser, and the movie's just going to be called Avengers Stage Lighting.
What if there's nothing in this image at all, and they're just making fun of us? Because I see nothing.
I just wanted to watch the whole world burn. Is that what you're saying?
Guys, it just dawned on me. The movie is called Avengers Drax.
Oh my gosh.
It all makes sense now.
Ha, 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 ha.
And that's all we got for this time. So guys, where can people find you all on social media?
At KGilstrap13, that's KGilstrap with number 13 on the end.
And you can find me on Twitter at MTJR_15.
And you can find me on Twitter at TheBellMan. That's BEALLMAN because my ancestors couldn't spell. And you can also find me on Instagram at StoryBake. And of course, you can also find all of our content from Wabam Entertainment at wabamentertainment.com. And on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and also YouTube at WabamENT. We'll see y'all next time, and thank you for listening. You've been listening to the Wabam Entertainment Podcast. For more from Wabam Entertainment, visit us on the web at wabamentertainment.com. You can let us know what you thought of this episode on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at WabamENT. Thanks for listening. We'll see y'all next time.